both our Old Testament text and our gospel for today pushed me to think about the question, is anything ever truly hopeless? Now, we all know some people who are incorrigible optimists. We sometimes call them Pollyanna people. They only see, you know, the good and everything is going to be wonderful. And I think I've been around here long enough that you've figured out that that's not my inherent character. We all live in circumstances that drain our hope. Severe illness, personal or corporate tragedy, the death of a loved one, just feeling overwhelmed with everything that is on our plate. Sometimes we are in situations where we feel persecuted or underappreciated or just extremely stressed for some reason or other. And there's nothing worse than that hopeless, helpless feeling. It drains our energy, and sadly, for some people, it even pushes them to suicidal thoughts. In our Old Testament reading today, Ezekiel is brought into a valley of dry bones. We're told that he was brought out by the Spirit. So whether he was literally in a valley of dry bones or whether he was experiencing a vision from God, we don't really know. But he comes to this valley of dry bones and God asks him a question. Can these bones live? Now, I always have found Ezekiel's answer a little bit surprising, because being, you know, the hardcore realist that I am, I would have this incredible tendency of looking at this valley of dry bones and kind of going, not a chance, not a chance. But Ezekiel's answer is surprising. He says, Lord, you know. He doesn't say, oh, yes, of course. He says, Lord, you know. But in that answer, Lord, you know, he holds out a sense of hope for the possibility that God can do something truly extraordinary and unexpected in the middle of this context. He holds on to the idea that God might know something that he doesn't know, that God might act in a surprising way in this circumstance. In our culture, periodically, you'll hear people use the phrase, Lord only knows. But when we use that phrase in our culture, it tends to be kind of this throwaway statement. And we might as well just say, who knows, or I don't know, or nobody knows, or whatever. But in this context, when Ezekiel is saying, Lord, you know, I like to think that it was Ezekiel making a statement of faith in the power and possibility of what God can do, and a statement of hope, not succumbing to the sheer disaster of the scene before him, not looking at it with a hopeless view. And what's interesting in this is that God turns around and he takes that statement of faith and hope that Ezekiel makes, and he makes Ezekiel a part of the process. God says to Ezekiel, you prophesy. Now, we don't use the word prophesy very much in our culture. And often when we use the word prophesy or the word prophecy, the noun and the verb, we tend to think about it in terms of, you know, fortune tellers and looking at the future and you know, what's going to happen in the future. But really, in the Old Testament, prophecy had to do with speaking the word of God into a situation. I think there's a sense in which preaching is prophecy. It's speaking the word of God into the situation of St. George's. I think every time that any of you share a Bible verse with someone because you think they need it, you are exercising the gift of prophecy, I think. Now, the first prophecy is to the bones. And all of a sudden, we have this bizarre image of these bones coming together. And of course, there's that old Negro spiritual, you know, them bones, them dry bones, whatever bone is connected to whatever next bone and whatever. And of course, this is the origin of that particular song. But at the end of the day, when the bones come together and the sinews come together and the flesh comes back onto these bodies, the reality is that we are still dealing with dead bodies. There is no life there. And so there's the second prophecy, the prophecy to the breath. And in the Old Testament, the word breath is the same word that is used for spirit. And so there's a sense in which that second prophecy is a prayer for the Holy Spirit to come into the situation. And we know that, of course, God breathed into Adam and gave him life. Life doesn't exist apart from the breath of God. And so, all of a sudden now, these dry bones become living human beings again. This text is a vision of hope and restoration for Israel, who had been hauled into exile. I think it's also an invitation to us, an invitation for us to speak the word of God into every place of our lives, individually and corporately, and especially those contexts that tend to feel a little bit hopeless. I think that it's an invitation for us to pray for the Spirit of God to bring new life into our lives, personally and corporately, and into the life of our community around us. And I think that it's an invitation to claim for ourselves the promise that is in the last verse of this text. God says, "I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." I want to pick up also a verse that was not part of the text. It's the last couple of verses of the previous chapter. The problem with the lectionary is that you never know quite where to start and stop, and you lose context sometimes. But these are the last two verses of Ezekiel 36. "Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel ask me to do this for them, to multiply their people like sheep, like a consecrated flock, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed festivals, so shall the ruined towns be filled with flocks of people. Then they shall know that I am the Lord." I think that that's our invitation to pray that God would increase our population as a parish, to pray that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, to pray that God would lead us to the place that will be our own soil, and to be reminded that God uses us in the process of what God is doing. So we are called to act where we can act and to pray where it requires an act of God and to know that God's kingdom purposes will be fulfilled in us, through us, and among us. Amen.